You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. California is getting an energy czar. That's according to Governor Gavin Newsom, who announced a big reshaping of the utility company PG&E in response to the state's ongoing wildfire crisis. Many experts believe the recent disasters represent a new era, one in which major wildfires that threaten people and their homes are a regular fixture in our lives. A changing environment may need a new set of responses from our communities and our government. Chris Field is director of the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment. I called him up to see how the scientific community is thinking about wildfires. You've been studying this for a long time. Are you seeing anything new that has surprised you?
For sure. The ferocity of the fires has increased dramatically. The number of structures burned, the number of people lost. We really have seen a massive uptick. California has a lot more people who live in what we call the wildland-urban interface. And fires that in past decades might have been sort of a news footnote have the potential to now be a devastating public disaster if they move into populated areas.
What are some examples in the Bay Area of these areas you're talking about?
Well, I personally live in a wildland-urban interface just to the west of the Stanford campus. Wherever you see subdivisions that kind of move out of the, curbs and gutters kind of 1950s subdivision into a more scattered through the forest, and we see it, extensively in the hills of Oakland or in Marin County, all along the peninsula where the houses drift up into the mountains. Those are very fire-prone areas where the risks of catastrophic wildfire are really quite high.
What have you been doing then, you, your neighbors? Is there anything specific that you have been doing?
Yes. In fact, a lot of the steps to make communities more fire-resistant are relatively straightforward. Some of the most important ones involve making sure that your house meets the wildland-urban interface building code. Things like emphasizing a defensible space around the home, having shrubs and trees be far enough so that they're not igniting the house and so that firefighters have access. Even simple things like making sure that there's not an accumulation of leaves and pine needles on your roof can make a big difference about whether your house catches on fire when a spark hits it. So there are lots of things that can happen, and they range all the way from steps that individual homeowners can take to the power company being attentive to making sure there aren't limbs hanging over the power lines, to making sure that the fire department has really good access if a fire does occur.
And where do you see this going? Do you see it getting better at all? Do you think, you know, people and but also, you know, the county level and at the state level are getting it right so that we will be moving in the right direction?
We are living in the midst of a genuine catastrophe in California where the amount of economic damage and the amount loss of life from wildfires, totally unacceptable, and some things need to change. Some of them are steps that individual homeowners can take, but others have to be taken at the level of statewide initiatives to do things like reduce these levels of fuel that are accumulated, brush on the ground, dead limbs, small trees, fuel that could carry a fire from the ground up into the tops of the trees where it has the potential to spread long distances and become devastating, make the power grid safer, and enhance our emergency responses. And in some cases, we may even decide that some communities are at such great fire risk that it's really not responsible to continue to allow people to live in some of these places. And so there may be selected places in California where we need to either rearrange neighborhoods or potentially even find ways for whole communities to start over in another location.
what would you ideally, in an ideal world, like to see happen in 2020?
We need to be reducing the risk of catastrophic fire by using fire as a tool to reduce these fuels. Our targets for using managed low-intensity fire to reduce the fuels, called prescribed burns, is much, much higher than the level we're actually burning at. And we should be increasing that level by at least a factor of 10 so that we can get ahead of this fuel accumulation.
Why is prescribed burning so important?
So one of the things that research has shown is that we can reduce these fuel accumulations, the things that increase the risk of catastrophic fires, by using fire as a tool. I know that sounds unexpected, but there's a huge amount of experience around the country and around the world that purposely set fires, called prescribed burns, can be very effective at reducing these very dangerous fuels, and they can do it in a way that has a manageable ground level fire, very low risk to the whole forest and low risk to surrounding communities. They can even be managed in a way where the smoke production is minimal, in a way that very effectively reduces the amount of fuels. And fire can do fuel reduction at a much, much lower cost than having individuals have to go into these forests with chainsaws and tractors. And if we can use fire as an ally in preventing fire and fighting fire, it's going to get us way ahead of the game in the long run. Mm. So one of the most important things for California to do is dramatically increase the amount of prescribed burn that it uses to decrease the risk of catastrophic wildfire. Cal Fire has been ambitious about that, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we should continue to insist that the utilities like PG&E make their infrastructure safer. And we should figure out how to deal more effectively with the public safety power shutdowns that really are likely to provide an increase in fire safety. And we also need to encourage communities and individual homeowners to make their properties as safe as possible.
Chris Field is director of the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment. And thanks to Christopher Agusa, who helped produce that interview.